Years ago in the 80s sometime, I was in a seminar with Sangha, actually. It wasn't in this text, it was in a completely different text. But he started to talk about looking at our lives as a personal mandala, and saying, what do we have in the centre of our lives? How are we balancing the aspects of our life? And I actually found it a really, really helpful way of thinking about my own practice. He actually said it to me, and I was talking to him. Actually, I was asking him why I wasn't ordained yet. I thought I'd been around for about 10 months or something, but, you know, I was young and enthusiastic. And he was explaining to me that he perceived in me a lack of integration. And he used this term of a mandala and said, sometimes when people have a very complex mandala, it needs something very deep in the centre to hold it. And he obviously felt I had a complex mandala, which is true. I'm one of those people that, you know, can go off in 100 directions and I'm interested in everything. And he felt I really needed something very strong at the centre that could hold that. So I was very grateful for that. And I actually found that a helpful way of thinking about life. And also about all those other things being harmonious, because they're held with something in the centre that gives it meaning. So, no conflict in the greater mandala. How beautiful is that? Because so often we are in conflict, even with ourselves, let alone with anybody else. So the idea of the greater mandala is to be able to come into relationship without conflict, with harmony. Sangrajita also talks about extremes where we can over-identify with either the practical and become very overly focused and dry. But on the other hand, there's another extreme, which is the vague, the kind of space cadet, you know, the completely way out there. You know, some of us tend to one or the other. Some of us have the talent to be both. You know, what Sangha actually saying is, in a way, we need to be bigger than either of those. We need to find a way of bringing that together. And he suggests that the antidote to both of those is spontaneous, light-hearted play. To try and relate to life as play. And again, this is an attribute of the Bodhisattva, of this being who's seeking enlightenment to alleviate all suffering. It's quite interesting that you're trying to alleviate suffering, but that's light-hearted. Light-heartedness, a sense of play in our practice so we don't get too dry, but also keeping us anchored. Rumi. He says, respond to every call that excites your spirit. Respond to every call that excites your spirit. By spirit here, I mean our spiritual quest. I don't know what Rumi meant, but I'm taking it to mean a spiritual quest. So respond to what really inspires us and fascinates us. It's fantastic to find things that fascinate. Fascination will keep us alive. It will keep us involved, it will keep us engaged. So I think it's really important to find fascination. Some of you, I believe, are quite early in your path of Buddhist practice. Some of you have been practicing for a long time. It doesn't matter. Fascination is important. Whether it's just the fascination to sit down in the cushion and be fascinated about what's going to happen in your next meditation, or whether it's the fascination of reading a Dharma text, and finding something that really resonates, that you think, I've known this forever, but I've had no words to express it. Whether it's the fascination of getting to know a new friend who's really interested in you and really wants to help you with your growth, really wants to see that you're okay. Keeping fascinated in each other, I think, really keeps our practice alive. And that is living in the greater mandala. To find the mystery at the heart of life. Yeats, the Irish poet, said something like, I couldn't actually find this direct quote, but it's something like, the health of a nation can be seen by the health of its mythology. So I think you could think of that as the health of a movement might well be noted in the health of its mythology. And by mythology, what I mean is a sense of magic and myth and ritual and wonder and awe. And if we can keep that within our movement, within our life, then it will keep something alive.